Finally, in chapter 16, Paul turns his attention to the fourth of the questions that were sent to Paul in a letter delivered to him, a letter from the Corinthian community. And it concerns the collection that he'd been organising with them for the saints. The Christian community in Jerusalem was very poor, and Paul promised to help them financially. We find that in Galatians chapter 2, verse 10. So Paul says, concerning the collection for the saints, you should follow the directions I gave to the churches of Galatia. He mentions Galatia because he wants to remind the Corinthians that this collection he's asked them to generously make is not just them, it's all the churches he's asking to help. So he says, concerning the collection for the saints, you should follow the directions I gave to the churches of Galatia. On the first day of every week, brackets, so this is the Sunday Mass, the Sunday Assembly, each of you is to put aside and save whatever extra you earn, so that collections needn't be taken when I come. And when I arrive, I'll send any whom you approve with letters to take your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I go with them, well, I'll accompany them. Then he promises something, verse 5. I'll visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I'll stay with you or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I go. Brackets. Paul was actually delayed, as we'll find out in his second letter, but he did spend the winter there, the winter of 56 to 57, during which he composed his letter to Rome. He goes on, I don't want to see you now just in passing. I'm hoping to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. At this stage, Paul is not yet sure whether or not he will go on to Jerusalem with the collection. It's possible that the idea of going to Rome is already in Paul's mind. However, as I said, he did eventually get to spend the winter there. When he left Corinth for the last time, it was to take the collection to Jerusalem. And Luke, in Acts chapter 20, gives a list of those who accompanied him. In verse 10, Paul writes, if Timothy comes, see that he has nothing to fear among you, for he's doing the work of the Lord just as I am. Therefore, let no one despise him. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me. For I am expecting him with the brothers. Paul has already mentioned that he sent Timothy, whom he calls my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ Jesus as I teach them everywhere in every church. He'd already said that back in chapter 4, verse 17. These verses here, verses 10 to 11, function as a a letter of recommendation. Obviously, Paul expects the letter to reach the Corinthian community before Timothy arrives. It's going back with the ship that brought the delegation, whereas Timothy, it presumably, must be travelling to Corinth through Macedonia. Then Paul mentions Apollos, one of the ones that they were obviously very impressed by because he was a very good orator, very learned, and that was mentioned in the first chapters of the letter. So he says now, concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but he wasn't at all willing to come now. He'll come when he has the opportunity. And Paul concludes with some beautiful words of advice. Keep alert. Stand firm in your faith. Paul picks up some of the central themes of the letter. Keep alert is a reminder to the Corinthians to keep their eyes upon their Lord, to long for his coming and be prepared to meet him. Stand firm in faith is an appeal to them to stay close to Jesus. It's also an appeal for them to base their behavior on the traditions they've been taught, the kind of traditions that Paul has been insisting on in this letter. Stand firm in faith. They've been impressed by the gifts of the Spirit that they see themselves as possessing, but they've tended to forget the traditions of the other churches. And in verse 13, Paul says, be courageous, be strong. Be courageous occurs only here in the New Testament. This itself is interesting when we consider the important role this virtue played in Greek, but especially in Roman, ethical philosophy, where the accent is on self-reliance. Be courageous. Paul's understanding is quite different. His use of the expression here, followed by be strong, appears to be a reference to Psalm 27, where the same two verbs are used in the Greek text. I'll read to you from Psalm 27, verse 14. Put your hope in the Lord. Be courageous. Let your heart be strong. Put your hope in the Lord. Their courage and their strength is to be in reliance on God and on the love which God has revealed to them in the weakness of the cross. A very different kind of strength and courage. And in verse 14, let all that you do be done in love. How better to sum up all that he's written in this letter than to appeal to the Christians in Corinth, let all you do be done in love. They know that the love to which he's referring is the love given them by God and demonstrated for them in the way in which Jesus gave himself for them. If they live in this love, and if it is this love that motivates everything that they do, they will know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. In verse 15, Paul goes on, "Now, brothers and sisters, you know that members of the household of Stephanas," Stephanas was mentioned way back in chapter 1, "were the first converts in Achaia, and they've devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you to put yourselves at the service of such people and of everyone who works and toils with them. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they've made up for your absence. They refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such persons." So these three men must have been the delegation that came from Corinth with the letter from the community and with questions that they asked Paul to comment on, which has been the whole of this letter. And Paul is recommending the people to honour these three men and to follow them. Paul says how much the delegation has refreshed my spirit. We mustn't miss that, because otherwise we could get a wrong impression of the Corinthian community. In spite of the problems that Paul's had to address, these men must have given him quite a positive report of the community. This would account for the positive things that Paul has said throughout the letter, and also for the many expressions of affection. It's also a reminder to us not to overstate the problems that have taken up so much of the letter. Paul is sure that the Corinthians will be relieved to know this, to know that they were given a good report, as they may have heard reports that Paul was very distressed because of the news that was reaching him about how things were going in Corinth. And now Paul concludes his letter. "The churches in Asia," that's of course the Roman province of Asia, of which Ephesus, where he's writing from, is the capital, "the churches of Asia send greetings. Aquila and Prisca," it's Priscilla, "together with the church in their house, greet you warmly in the Lord. All the brothers and sisters send greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Let anyone be accursed, anathema, who has no love for the Lord." Accursed means left to God, not to be dealt with, not to be argued with. But so if they're that determined, well, if they've got no love for the Lord, well, they're not really part of the community. And he prays then, "Our Lord, come. Marana tha." We find that also in Book of Revelation 22:20. "Our Lord, come." There's a slight variation of that founded in the Didache, which instead of saying Marana tha, it says Maran atha. Marana tha means, "Lord, our Lord, come." It's a request. Maran atha is a cry of recognition and joy. The Lord is coming. So Paul concludes with that and says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in the Messiah, Jesus.